right, welcome back to the Carolina Outdoors. Bill Bartee, one of the great services of this industry has been the Appalachian Fly Guide.
Oh, that's right. And we've got the author on right now, Don, to learn a little bit more about it. And we're going to welcome him on to the Carolina Outdoor Hotline. Jeb Hall, welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
Man, it is going A-OK. Just so you know, here in the month of October, we got a lot of people going outdoors, going fishing. And Don, as we hang our hat over at Jesse Brown's, one of the most frequent questions that we get is where to go.
That's right. And it's an easy answer with Jeb Hall's book, The Southern Appalachian Fly Guide. Tell us about that, Jeb. How did that come about?
It came about several years ago when I was still in my 20s. So that's been a long time ago. And it was kind of a niche that hadn't really been filled by anything. And so I figured I better do it first.
Well, one of the wonderful things about it, not only does it tell you all these streams that you can possibly go fish, but there are great photographs of those streams, so you really know what to expect when you get there.
Yeah, and that's kind of the idea. So you're not just reading someone's account of what the stream looks like. You can actually see, you know, how big the rocks are. Is it have high gradient? Is it going to be hard to wade? Is there a lot of rhododendron? Can you actually get a cast in there? So,
well,
they're supposed to be a little inspirational too, and make you want to fish the stream. So,
well, I like the way you open it up too, Jeb. Fly fishing is not easy. It's expensive, time consuming, and often frustrating to the point of four letter frenzy. This guidebook was written to help take some of the work and frustration out of fishing and give you a more quality experience on the water. So that was 6 years ago or so when you were 20-something. But Don and I didn't realize that we were all about the same age. Did you get in trouble for giving out anybody's favorite fishing spot, anybody's honey hole, when you first published the Southern Appalachian Fly Guide?
I think when the first edition came out, there was definitely some backlash, but fortunately for me, I was in Alaska during that time, so the guys here at Davidson River took the brunt of that anger for the first couple months. By the time I got home, it sort of smoothed out.
Everybody had cooled off just a notch. Well, transversely, did you leave out anybody's favorite fishing hole? Like, Jeb, why didn't you put in such and such or such and such or such and such?
I did leave out several things for one reason or another. Either access issues or, you know, small blue line streams that, you know, maybe not everyone needs to be able to find that easily. That sort of thing.
Well, between Google Earth and the maps that are available these days, I always say there are no secret spots anymore, just places you haven't been yet. So, you know, the access is there, the technology is there to get an idea of how to get into a place like that. You know, there's just more and more things available for us, that's for sure. But the good news is that fly fishing tends to be about catch and release, doesn't it?
It does. It does. So when it's catch and release, it definitely has less of an impact than it used to. When I was a kid, a lot of people kept fish, and if somebody figured out your good brook trout stream, somebody might go back in there, and there wouldn't be a lot of brook trout left when you went back.
Well, that's where the catch and release program has come into play, and it has been so useful for North Carolina and other states that has kind of utilized. Our guest is Jeb Hall, the Southern Appalachian Fly Guide, is in just over 6 years, and it's been, I don't know, what edition are you on now? How many printings have you done of the Southern Appalachian Fly Guide?
It's second edition and second printing of that edition. And the only thing that's really changed in that second printing of the second edition is we just went in there and kind of tried to clean a couple things up and change some of the regulations on streams that have changed since the first printing came out. So nothing's really been super modified for the ones that we just got. So
and you explain it in the introduction, but kind of revisit and we don't want to put you on the spot too much of describing what your book is, but this is radio, so we're going to ask you, the author, this is your baby. Will you describe this book and who it's intended for and how it's intended to be used?
So This book is an easy-to-use guidebook, but it's full-size, so it's like a coffee table book. It's full-color, so it's more visually appealing. It's broken. It has all the trout streams in our area broken down into regions, so you can kind of pick the region where you're going to be fishing, and then you can find those streams in that area, and you can find them based on species. You can search them based on regulations. You can search them based on streams that you can float, streams that you can camp on. There's a lot of different ways that you can use the book, and it's all broken down in the back in a really nice appendices. So.
Well, and I mean this totally respectfully, too, but it is easy to use. It is something that you can put on the dashboard of your SUV when you're out there fishing, have it. It can help you plan out a trip. And then each page, each stream that's covered, as Don mentioned, the beautiful photography, but also it has the why to fish a stream, as well as the when and what and directions to each stream. So it really is a full, total breakdown of special places in the southeast to go fishing.
How about a current stream report right now in October? We've of course just stocked the delayed harvest streams, but there's lots of other opportunities as well.
That's right. Current stream report for up our way: streams are low but fishable. The water's nice and cool. It's been getting down into the low 40s in Mills River where I live, and into the high 30s at the higher elevations. Brook trout streams are fishing well up high. The Davidson's fishing well if you got a long leader and some 7X fluorocarbon. we got some rain in the forecast for this weekend, so next week should really be good.
Yeah, we're looking forward to seeing some more precipitation. It's kind of ironic after all the rains we've had this summer, it's kind of dried up, but all of a sudden here in the fall.
Yeah. We usually see that in our area here. We always get a little dry spell right at the end of September, first of October.
Our guest name, Jeb Hall, author of the Southern Appalachian Fly Guide, here on the Carolina Outdoors, News 1110, 99.3 WBT. Jeb, do you have any more books in your in the future? You got any more things up your sleeve, so to speak?
There's a kind of a picture book about guiding in Alaska that I work on intermittently. And we're, of course, going to do another edition of the Southern Appalachian Fly Guide sometime in the future once we get through this printing, I would think.
Well, give us
and a, outside of that, I'm not sure.
Give us an insect report off the stream. How are the aquatic insects looking this fall? How have they fared with this low water?
It's not been so low for so long that it's really had an impact on them, I don't think. In fact, I'm in the stream right now. I can turn over a rock and tell you what I see.
Pick them up. Tell us what's going on out there.
All right. Hold on just a second.
All right. Diving for a rock here in the midstream.
And now, Don, why is he doing that? Why is that important?
That's called reading the menu right there. So unless we know what's in that stream, though, we're going to have a hard time catching those fish. So this is the most important thing of all.
And on the menu for fall, like always, it seems to be a lot of caddis. There's a lot of case caddis on this rock, you know, the little rock roller type.
Yep. So the ones that make the little sand cases?
Yeah, the little sand cases are all over that rock right there.
All right, and so then, you heard it, caddis.
Yeah, it's going to be caddis. We get some October caddis. If you fish the Nantahala sometimes gets a pretty good October caddis hatch.
That the big stick builders?
I think they're kind of a stick builder, yeah.
Yep.
They're very orange.
Right,
when
right.
They hatch.
It's easy to remember, orange pumpkins in October, right?
That's right.
Right.
All right, now y'all might be talking a foreign language, so a bunch of our people out there, our guest Jeb Hall, author, the Southern Appalachian Fly Guy, Don Yeager over there, I'm Bill Barty. Jeb, you've had an opportunity to fish all over the place, Alaska, Montana, and you're in North Carolina. Boy, what's your favorite place to be?
Ooh, that's pretty tough. I would say Southwest Alaska out of everywhere I've been.
And what is it about Southwest Alaska that makes your heart tingle?
Not a person in sight and millions of fish.
And it can be any year you want in Alaska, can it?
Yep.
Absolutely. Right. Nothing's changed forever up there, and it's just absolutely what God put there, isn't it?
It's great. It really is great. Just to, where I'm talking about in Alaska, you could fish the bottom end of a gravel bar and catch salmon. You could walk up to the top of the gravel bar and catch sea run dolly varden. You could walk to the channel that flows behind the gravel bar and catch rainbow trout and grayling, all in one spot. And there's not a lot of places in the world you can do that kind of thing. So.
Well, Jeb, thank you for taking a little bit of time and spending it with us here on the Carolina Outdoors. We invite everybody to go to a fly shop near you, including Jesse Brown's, because we have the Southern Appalachian Fly Guide there in Sharon Corners, high atop the mezzanine section of the Sharon Corners Shopping Center in the South Park Shopping District. Jeb, happy fishing out there.
Thank you. Good talking to you.
There he goes.
All right, Bill Barty, it's time to get it out there and head for a stream this fall.
Before we take our quick little break here, Don, tell me, what should we take out there if we're fishing up in the Mills, Davidson, Brevard area of North Carolina?
Well, right now it's olive caddises and also, of course, dark brown pheasant tail nymphs.
So we got that from him looking under those rocks, didn't
we? That's right. Always got to read the menu or you're wasting your time.
Oh, all right. Well, hey, let's stay on this theme of fishing, because Saturday, October 14th, we've got the Young Guns Fly Fishing Social going on at Jesse Brown's from 3 to 6. Our next guest, Tucker Horn, is going to tell us all about it after this.